Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Oh, yeah. Let's get started. Why do we have to wait?
Honey, I can't have sex with you right now. I have to record my podcast. I put it out every Wednesday.
But I'm so horny.
Baby, don't. I already hit record. Don't be talking. Now everybody on the pod, all the listeners are going to know how horny you are.
I don't care if they know. I want to get fucked.
All right. Well, just go in the other room.
You only have one room.
All right. Well, just you're being rude. Okay. Now I don't want to fuck you because now I'm angry. Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. Just a brief argument with my girlfriend. You ever try to hook up with somebody and then you get mad like during the start of the hookup? You know, like one time. Well, I don't know. This girl might. The girl I'm referencing might listen to this episode. So I guess I won't say it. But I've definitely had moments where I was like about to hook up and then something happens and then I'm like, what the? Now I'm annoyed. You can't be like rocked up and annoyed, dude. Those two emotions do not go well together. I took this year-long comedy program when I first moved to New York and Steve Rosenfeld was the instructor. And one thing he said that I thought was really good that's always stuck with me is that people can't laugh while they're worried. So if you're saying something about how you're like, just for example, like you're really depressed as a comedian and the audience is worried about you, about your physical health and safety, they're not going to then laugh because they're worried. You can't laugh worried at the same time. You can't be like all horned up and about to hook up when you're mad at somebody, you know? Maybe you can. I guess that's what a grudge fuck is. I don't know. I'm not a fucking scientist, dude. Okay. Yeah, all right. Yo, this last week has been insane. I went down to Raleigh. Don't say rally, I learned. Don't say rally, North Carolina. It's Raleigh, North Carolina, to open for Giulio Gallerati at Good Nights Comedy Club. That place was sick. Apparently, they have a new room. It just opened like a few weeks ago. That was fun as fuck. And then the DJ was cool as fuck. I think Giulio knows him from a long time ago. And he goes, hey, what do you want your intro song to be like when I come on stage? And I hadn't put any thought into it. And the only time anyone has ever asked me that, I always say that Notorious B.I.G. song.
Notorious.
No. What's that one that goes, bing, bing, bing? You know what I'm talking about. The big famous one. God damn it. I can't remember. Should I hit stop and look it up? We'll be fine. But I didn't want to say that song. It's, you know, everybody knows that song. I'm sure millions of people play that. So I said, can you play Cheap Thrills by Sia? So then I go out on stage. He's playing Cheap Thrills by Sia and he leaves it on for like 15, 20 seconds. And then I was like, kind of like dancing and singing along. Come on, come on. Put the radio on. It's Friday night and I can't get home. And then I was mad at myself in my head because it was a Tuesday night and I should have like, you know, altered the lyrics to say, come on, come on, it's Tuesday night and rally. But that was really cool. I want to have like intro music all the time, like for all things in life, you know, like why is corporate life is so boring, dude? Like you go to your job. No one's ever playing any sick music. The lighting's always bad. And I guess because they don't want you to be like hooking up with each other. But I still think we could have some pretty sick tunes and better lighting and not have people hook up with each other in corporate America. Is that so fucking hard? You know? And then on Wednesday last week, we went to Nashville, Tennessee. I ain't never been to Nashville. Flew from Raleigh to Nashville, 7:30 a.m. flight out of Raleigh. And it was insane. It was a Wednesday morning at 7:30 in Raleigh. You wouldn't think the airport would be packed. Completely fucking packed. There's a dude with a big sign that says security line starts here. I'm like, what? How are people making a mass exodus in the middle of the week that early in a relatively small town, I would think? I don't know what Raleigh's population is, but what the fuck? Anyway, so we get to Nashville. Julio's got to work. I took the day off. So I'm like, okay, now I'm in Nashville. I've never been before. And it's 9:30 in the morning because you lose an hour because Nashville's in central time zone. So I fucking walk out of this hotel. And now it's 9:30 in the morning. And I have literally no idea what to do, and I've never been there before. So I look at my phone and find this like trolley tour place that's like, I don't know, 6 blocks from where the hotel is. So I just walk over there. It's pretty fucking hot, dude. I walk over there. That place doesn't exist. So I'm like, okay, no big deal. I'll just go to Broadway. That's like the famous street where everything is. I'm apparently on the other side of the highway. I walked like maybe 2 to 3 miles. Never got to the other side of the highway because there was no way to do it, you know? It reminds me, I read this article like a few weeks ago about how America's highway system purely designed to serve cars. And it's so true, man. Like, as a pedestrian, you just feel like, why are you even here? Why would you dare walk down the... Why would I walk? You mean like what Homo sapiens have done for millions of years? Why would I walk around a place where people live? That's so crazy. I have to turn on a machine that can kill people? That's the only way to be an acceptable, appropriate member of society? Dude, fuck that. So then I walked for a long ways, and then I was getting kind of sweaty. I was like, God damn it, dude. I'm going to be sweaty my first day in Nashville. I don't even have anything to do or anywhere to go. I go to this Publix to cool off. I like Publix. Shopping really is a pleasure there. It's very nice. They have great subs. I scolded myself. I'm like, Danny, you're not getting a fucking Publix sub your first day in a cool city you've never been to. So then I found this like cool diner spot that was neat. And I was like, okay, I'm cool. And then I got on this double-decker bus and I went on an hour tour that didn't have alcohol, by the way. But I wasn't drinking during the day because I'm not going to get drunk and then open for Julio at a room comedy club. So I didn't drink anything all day. I had an ice cream cone. That's how I treated myself. This double-decker bus tour was sick as fuck, dude. I don't know who this guy was leading it, but he was great. And I don't know if you've been to Nashville, but Ryman Auditorium is this big famous auditorium theater where, you know, fucking the Allman Brothers and Willie Nelson, Johnny Cash, Dolly Parton, Reba McEntire. I mean, you fucking name it, dude. They've all played there, right? So right behind Ryman Auditorium is this bar that's is like purple. The bar is purple. Yeah, it's a purple bar. It's called Tootsie's. The tour guide told us that Willie Nelson, when he used to play Ryman Auditorium, he would walk over to Tootsie's after the show and drink. And sometimes he would walk over to Tootsie's during the show to drink, which made me wonder, there's got to be multiple acts. I doubt that he's like in the middle of a set and then just like, hold on, everybody. I don't know if that's how Willie Nelson talks. And then just walks over to a bar and the whole audience is like, what the fuck, dude? We paid money. We're just supposed to sit here while he boozes. Can't they just bring him some booze in the green room? It must have been while another band was performing their act. So he said that he walked over to Tootsie's so often to drink that he knew exactly how many steps it was. It's 15 steps to Tootsie's and 35 steps back. Dude, that Willie Nelson tale anecdote got the biggest laugh of anything the tour guy said during the entire hour. He said some other funny things, but nothing was as funny as that. And then one time he made a joke and he was like, oh, nobody liked that one. I'm like, dude, just leave the jokes to Willie Nelson, okay? You're on a double-decker, gray line bus with no alcohol. I'm not sure this is the place to hone your comedy chops. No, but he was really smart. I like when people are smart, you know? He was talking about the origin, the founder of Vanderbilt, this dude with the last name of Vanderbilt. This guy Vanderbilt, he gave all this money to start this school in Nashville. He's from New York. Never once went to Nashville to visit the campus. Never once. There's a fucking statue of this dude on the campus. The football team, the sports teams are called the Commodores because that was Vanderbilt's nickname. Never saw it. Just a wealthy New York benefactor. I can't imagine giving millions of dollars to a place and just thinking in your head, huh, man, wonder what that place is like. Maybe I should go. I'm not going to go. Also, apparently, they're tearing down the Tennessee Titans stadium in like 2 to 3 years. They're going to build another one right behind it, and it's going to have a retractable roof because the current one that they built in like 19, or it opened, I think, in 1999 does not have a retractable roof. And I was looking at the football stadium for a while because it's right across this river. I was like, why did they fucking build that thing? And I kept wondering, I was like, is that a nice stadium? Now it's called Nissan Stadium. I'm like, is that a nice place? I think it's kind of cool. But it's one of those stadiums where you can see the underside of it. It's all concrete. It's like, oh, there's this big concrete monstrosity. But anyways, I mean, you know, the tour guide said that he has mixed feelings about it, you know, because you're tearing down all this history. But then again, you're going to have this sick new stadium with a retractable roof. And I was sitting in that dilemma with him momentarily. I'm like, yeah, I get that, you know. And it was, I think it was the first pro sports team that Nashville has ever had and all the history there. You know, Eddie George, Steve McNair, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, time marches on, man. I was reading this other article about Vegas today. Apparently, it's likely that they're going to tear down the Tropicana Casino, which my friend Julia, who's also performed comedy at, I went there to hang out over New Year's Eve 1 year. Didn't perform. Just watched Julia perform. It was fun. They're tearing down the Trop, likely, because the A's are moving from Oakland to Vegas, and that's part of the parcel of what they're going to build. So, you know, they interviewed people in Vegas. They were like, what do you think about losing the Tropicana. And most people were just like, yeah, dude, you know, it's fucking Vegas. Vegas has a long history of imploding buildings. I will look at some of these buildings that they've imploded. There's a bunch. One time they let off a shit ton of fireworks before they imploded some fucking thing, you know, some fucking building. Am I saying Vegas wrong? My friends are always shitting on me about the way I pronounce Las Vegas. Las Vegas, Nevada. Vegas, Vegas. I don't fucking know, dude. It's a town. It's very famous. They implode buildings there. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you've been to Nashville, but I wrote down a bunch of tips and suggestions. I'll mention a few. The breakfast place that I went to was called Varallo's. It was cool. I got ice cream from Mike's Ice Cream on 2nd Avenue. There's Oscar's Taco Shop. Didn't go there. I like that Miranda Lambert has a cantina. Hi, I'm Miranda Lambert. I got a cantina if you want to stop by and get some Mexican food. Did you know that the Gaylord Opry Hotel has an indoor river? That's something. Here's some places that I didn't go to. Jack's Barbecue, Martin's Barbecue on 4th Ave. And Marathon Village has wine slushies. What? Wine slushies. That's fun. Also, I stayed at the Georgian Terrace for a couple nights in Atlanta. I was in room 608. Once again, that's 608. In case I get murdered tonight, be like, you guys can put some flowers up around that door. And then whoever's staying in that room is like, are you fucking serious? No one knows or cares who that guy is, dude. Stop knocking on our door and crying. Oh, and if you want a few restaurant recommendations for Raleigh, not sure why I'm doing this. Why not? The Pit Barbecue, 42nd Street Oyster Bar. Are they copying off from New York there? Maybe. The Beer Garden Hibernian. I don't know what that is. Oh, also, my Uber driver in Raleigh. I guess I'm backtracking on this trip, but who cares? This is 11 minutes of content this trip so far. Not too shabby. Not too fucking shabby. Good.
Are we going to fax it?
No, honey. No. I'm dedicated to my craft and career of putting out a podcast that doesn't get any advertisements.
All right, fine. I'll just play it my best.
I'm comedian David Race in Los Angeles. I host a celebrity-filled paranormal talk show like no other. Monstrosity has great guests answering weird questions. You won't believe the combo of celebrities and paranormal experts who've been on this show. I guarantee you'll like Monstrosity, or you get your time back. Go to monstrositypodcast.com right now and take a look.
So if you're looking for some restaurant recommendations in Raleigh, oh, I already said that thing. Oh, sorry. My Uber driver, Carrie, North Carolina, I guess is near Raleigh. You know when you're in your head, you're just like, okay, I'm going to Raleigh. That's the town I'm going to. And then when you're riding around in a town, on the highway signs, they mention all these other towns. And you're like, well, these are auxiliary towns. I don't really care. But then you're like, well, if you live there, you'd probably live in one of the auxiliary towns. You'd know all about them. You go to Atlanta, you ask anybody in Atlanta if they know about Alpharetta. Of course they know about Alpharetta, dude. It's right there. But if you're not from the city, anyways. I was like, what is Cary? He said, apparently it's a lot of Yankees live there. And I will not say the bad word, but he said that Cary stands for Containment Area for R-Word Yankees. And I told a couple of people that live in Raleigh that I heard that. Of course I didn't say that word because that's wrong. And they said that they thought it was something different, but they didn't have the R word. Well, I was like, well, apparently my Uber driver's a real piece of shit. So that's what he said to me. Yeah. So then we did Zany's in Nashville. That was cool as fuck. They have a sick ass green room with all these cool posters. They have like that Save Me song that Jelly Roll did that hit platinum. There's like a copy of that record on the wall and all these like Allman Brothers poster, concert posters. And you open the green room, is right behind the stage. So you're looking on the TV to see when your name's going to be called. And then you open the door and you're right on the stage. And yeah. And you know, the audience in Raleigh, for me, they were great. And then the audience in Nashville, I mean, they were good. I listened to my set tonight and I was like, I was getting angsty during part of it. Cause I was like, oh, I don't know if they're responding strongly enough. And am I out of jokes? But then I listened back and it was like, you know, when you listen to your comedy sets, it's usually never as good as you think it was. And it's also never as bad as you think that it was. Because without the heightened emotion of being in the moment and performing, when you can just kind of step back and listen, it's just a little better, a more accurate gauge of how you actually did. Anyways, yeah. So Zany's in Nashville, it's 2023 is their 40-year anniversary. That comedy club has been there for 40 years. I love like really good A comedy rooms like Zany's in Nashville, like Comedy Works in Denver, like the Punchline in Atlanta. It's fucking cool. It's cool to be in like good rooms. You know, I love when places around the country respect stand-up comedy, the art of it. The audiences love it. They treat the comics well. It's just, it's nice. You know, it's like, oh, look, you're participating in this actual art form that people do deeply care about and have a long history of caring about in this town. Am I going to start crying? That's insane, Danny. Why are you crying? I'm not wet anymore. All right. I'm allowed to have emotions. Okay, honey? Fuck you. Oh, Jesus, dude. Then we get to the punchline in Atlanta. That show was amazing. Julio killed for like an hour. Dude, Julio killed for an hour in three different cities. And it was special for me to be at the punchline because the first time I ever performed comedy was there. The manager, Marcy, was there that night and encouraged me. She was there last week as well. It was fucking great, man. And then I also performed at the Laughing Skull in Atlanta. I wasn't expecting to. And then so-and-so connection, so-and-so this was like, just go. You can probably get on. You can get on the 5 o'clock. You might be able to get on the 10:30. I show up. The booker's the nicest guy in the world. He puts me on all three shows. I just spent the entire night on Saturday night sitting in the viewing room of the Laughing Skull Comedy Club. It was fucking amazing. It's just like, what? I'm on zero shows this night. Now I'm on all three. And it was cool, you know? It was one of those situations where you're the only person that isn't from, well, doesn't live in the town. I lived in Atlanta for 8 years, but it's just me and a lot of Atlanta comics. There were a few comics from out of town, like from New York and Chicago, but for the most part, it was Atlanta comedians. And I was like, all right, Danny, you don't have any longstanding friends in this room. It's just you, pal. But I think it's good to be in situations like that, you know? It kind of takes you out of your ego a little bit. It's like, no one knows who the fuck you are. No one cares. Stop thinking you're something special. And then you can spend more time kind of observing people and watching and listening instead of being like, look at my personality. Anyway, I haven't even gotten to the fucking content that I captured for this week. The first piece of content that I've captured for this week, ladies and germs, get it now? the Mariana Trench goes almost 7 miles down. That's like the deepest part of the ocean. Dude, 7 miles? That submersible craft that they can't find that went down to the Titanic. As of this recording, they said they've got about 40, maybe 35 hours of air left. Not looking good. I'm sure that by the time you listen to this, or if you listen to this after tomorrow, which would be June, what, fucking 21st, 2023, the fate of those people has been decided, and this is irrelevant information. But yeah, 7 miles down is completely insane. My friend Kat, I don't think she'll mind if I tell this story. She flew from Fort Lauderdale to New York, and while they were in the air, the pilots ran out of pilot flying time. They had to go back to Fort Lauderdale after being in the air for like an hour. There's like some disruptive passengers, this whole mess. Kat said when they got back to the airport, the Burger King was on fire. Dude, from bad to worse, bro. When it rains, it pours. Everybody was okay, obviously, but that's just kind of funny. Nightmare flight, nightmare flight, nightmare flight. Thank God we landed. Everybody's safe. Burger King's on fire. Fuck, dude. I also want to shout out my listeners, Haley and Lainey. You guys are so nice. They always send me these complimentary messages and supportive messages. Thank you so much. Lainey said your latest podcast was superb. Superb. Made my drive home from work way better. Thank you, Lainey. I appreciate you listening. See, you know, this is a small pod, but if you say nice things about it, it's more likely that you'll be acknowledged versus on a much larger podcast. Are they going to have time to get around all the compliments? No. So look, this is where you want to be. This is where the majority of Americans should be spending their time and focus, okay? Yeah, and I saw Haley in Nashville. Hey, I'm Haley. She's sweet. And then she didn't want to go downtown to Broadway. She said, we're not going to go downtown. I don't go downtown to Broadway. The bars are real crowded there. But then we went there, and it was like, I mean, there were a lot of people, but it wasn't like too bad. You know, you just kind of pick your spots. It was just a reminder to me that the perception you have of your own town, it might not actually be 100% true all the time, you know? Like, I've lived in New York. I'm not dinging Haley. She's amazing. Thank you for coming to the show. She's a great fan and friend and made the night amazing. But I'm just saying, like, I think we all have a tendency to be like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, I lived in Atlanta for 8 years. I never went to Chastain Park. Not once. Still haven't been. I went to Johnny's Hideaway in Atlanta for the first time this past week. Hadn't been there before. I've never been to the Statue of Liberty in New York. I've never been to the Cloisters. I've never been to Grant's Tomb. I don't fucking know, dude. The fuck do I know? Do I know shit about shit? What is the point of this, Danny? Oh, me and Zach. So this podcast, if you don't know, used to be called Space What the Fuck, Dude. With me and my co-host, Zach McGovern, we just could not get along, ended the podcast. I converted it into the Danny Palmer Show. But now the Space What the Fuck Dudes have become something of a cult classic amongst my close circle of friends. And they send me messages about it. My friend Zach, not bad Zach, good Zach. Not Zach McGovern, different Zach. He goes, I listened to another Space What the Fuck ep last night. This one was about cats shitting in humans' asses. Nothing about space at all. Look, just because we titled it Space What the Fuck, Dude, it's not going to be pure space content, dude. There could be cats shitting into humans' asses episodes at any point. You never know, dude. You know what I'm saying? Da-da-da-da. Okay. I already said that. I said that. Oh, my friend Scott was nice talking about pursuing my dream. Thank you, Scott. Let me ask you this. When do you think the Atlanta Falcons stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, when was it opened? You know, it's a really cool looking thing. It looks like a kind of a transformer. It like opens up and shit. It just makes me think, like, you think you know stuff, you know? You're like, oh, I know when something opened. Do you actually know? I had no idea. It opened August 26, 2017 with a Falcons preseason game against the Arizona Cardinals, despite the retractable roof system being incomplete at the time. I think that's kind of a cool fact. I hope it didn't rain that day. Like, dude, if I was a player, I'd be kind of like nervous about it. I'd be like, guys, can we finish that roof first? I guess it doesn't matter. It's not like anybody's going to like kick the ball into the roof and then break the roof, dude. You don't really need the retractable roof unless it's raining. Okay. Was that interesting content? One might argue. Maybe not. Dude, I forget the length of the podcast episode it has to be for podcast ads to be enabled. I think it's 23 minutes. So if I just shoot the shit with you guys for 2 minutes, I could be eligible for an ad that will pay likely next to nothing. Is it even worth it, dude? Who cares? I was listening to somebody, I think it was Cameron Haynes on a podcast. He's like the world's number one rifleman, bow hunter, something. And he was talking about like his childhood versus like what he does today as an adult. And he said, what I hated as a kid, I like today because it drove me to get out of there. And that made me think about my own childhood. Maybe it'll make you think about your own childhood. The one thing that I really hated as a kid, well, I guess there was a lot. I don't know. Maybe there wasn't. One thing that really bothered me is like when we would go to Disney World, we lived in Tampa, we would drive across I-4 to go to Disney for the day. And look, this isn't a knock on my parents. We were like a lower middle class family. I'm very grateful that my parents took me to Disney World. It's very kind of them to take a bunch of kids. It's probably a huge pain in their ass to get up at 6 a.m. and pack all the kids up. And you know what? Now I feel bad about this story. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for taking me to Disney World should be the only fucking point of the story. It's not their fault. You know, like we would go to the park during the day and then like we would go and out to the parking lot at lunch and we like brought lunch from home and kept it in coolers. I'm sure it was a great lunch, you know. My mom would make great lunches. My dad would help. I don't know. I don't remember. Dude, I can't like divide the genders up in terms of who made the lunch right now to be like 2023 appropriate. I don't fucking know, dude. But we would go out to like the parking lots were labeled by like Disney characters and then by number. So we'd be in like fucking Goofy 87, you know, have to walk all the way out there. It's fucking Orlando. It's hot as fuck. And to get our lunch that we had packed to save money. And as we walked out of the park, we would walk by all these like lovely restaurants with air conditioning and people are drinking Cokes and having these great meals. And it just, I was like, you know what? I just want to make a lot of money when I'm an adult so that I don't have to go out to the parking lot and eat lunch as a kid. You know, what the fuck? You know what I mean? As a kid, having to do that made me want to not have to do anything like that as an adult. So then I worked, you know, that was always my motivating drive. And I'm not saying I'm killing it. I'm in a studio apartment, but I do think that made me work a little harder in school. Just hopefully avoiding that. Meanwhile, I probably should be living more like that lifestyle. So this is really a moment of reflection and shame. Anyways, I'll wrap it up with this. Oh, look, 23 minutes, dude. Look at that. I'm going to get 19 cents this week. I just started watching that Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix. I'm only like halfway into the first episode, but it's great. I love stuff like that. I love hearing about, you know, how did somebody that's massively successful begin? Because usually it's from bare-bone beginnings, like going out to the parking lot to have lunch at Disney World. Anyways, he talks about that you can get an injury and have to stop being an athlete forever. If you have millions of dollars, you could get robbed or fleeced somehow. But nobody can rob you of your mind. And it's important to remember that. When the travails of the world set down upon us, a mind is a terrible weight thing to jerk. Thank you for listening to the mainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I'm in town this weekend. Black Cat LES, 9 o'clock, Friday night, 172 Rivington. Every Friday night for 5 fucking years, minus 1 year of the pandemic. Saturday and Sunday night in your comedy club. I'm opening for Giulio Gallerotti, July 14th in Austin, Texas. And an exciting new show to announce. On July 7th, my brother, Ben Palmer, he of Palmer Trolls fame, is going to be doing his, Hope That Helps act at Black Cat LES. Wow, that's going to be crazy. I just watched him do it in front of 150 people in Atlanta. And a couple months ago at Stand Up New York here in New York. And it was amazing both times. And he just crushes. He destroys. So to see him do it in an intimate venue like Black Cat is going to be really amazing. So if you're in town in New York, July 7th, come out and see Palmer Trolls at Black Cat. It's going to be sick as fuck, dude. So life's going good. No complaints besides not having a children or a wife. So A, children, children. No A before it, Danny. You dipshit. Thank you for listening, you fucking. Come.